Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 54 of the O Woman Podcast, and this is a continuation of the episode you heard yesterday that was more elaboration and detail on ideas, thoughts, strategies for a more sexualized and physical foreplay, as opposed to kind of an emotional, verbal foreplay. Because I feel like we forget so many times that foreplay can be a myriad of options. There's so many things that you can do that sets the stage for a sexual, emotional, or even just a highly sexual animal physical relationship. So I wanted to just go over some different options and ideas that you might have forgotten about or never even thought of. My bet is that you have done most of these things in your sexual life, but you know, as you get especially in a relationship and, you know, things become general and normal and things like that, it's harder to remember some of the electrifying moves that you had when it was first a fresh thing. So I wanted to talk more today about just reminders for kind of keeping everything foreplay fresh. So yesterday I talked about some physical touching that isn't necessarily considered sexual when it happens always, but it's the context in which it's used. So standing next to someone, touching someone's arm, kissing them, you know, in places that are like not the lips, so the neck or the stomach or something like that. Holding hands, hugging, simple things that seem stupid, but when you think about it, they can actually be used for amping up the sexuality in the relationship and not just the regular practice of hugging before you go to work or whatever. And yesterday I ended by talking about kissing different body parts. And most of this is best done when you're at home if you're going to kiss someone on the stomach. That could be a little strange in public. but it's always a really good option to start kissing on body parts that aren't the lips. Because let's face it, once you get to the lips, things have obviously gone up a notch in the sexual scenario, which is an okay thing to take it up a notch and then take it back and take it up a notch and then take it back. But depending on, you know, your strategy for the sexual experience, if you're trying to get it to be slow and connected and in the mood, it'd be nice to slowly work your way up. But that's not always the case. Oftentimes the case is that you want to have 10-minute sex, do it fast. Both of you are into that, and so some of these foreplay ideas aren't going to work for this kind of a sexual situation. They're going to work better for the longer, drawn-out, more emotionally connected one, sort of. So, kissing body parts that aren't as sexual in nature, like the neck or the stomach, is a great way to start. And then, of course, that kind of carries over naturally into kissing on the lips. And I think we think of kissing on the lips and we think, okay, they're kissing. But like, how many different types of actual kissing are there? There's a bazillion. There's different paces. There's different intensities and stuff behind kissing on the lips. So I wanted to share just like a couple general ideas to remind you that if you're kind of stuck in a kissing rut, which sometimes I feel like I get stuck in a kissing rut, it's like the same old kissing every time. And I'm thinking, how do I make it better? It's like me doing the same old thing, but I just can't think of other options in the moment. I just, you know, you're in the zone, first of all, and you kind of have forgotten some of the other things that you already knew. It's sort of a funny thing getting, being in a long-term relationship because you forget some of the most obvious moves. So there's always the slow closed mouth kissing that, excuse me, is characteristic of your first kiss, you know, when you're a little kid or however old you are when you're a teenager, whatever. I think I was like 16 or something. And, I was 16. Besides, I used to be in plays, and every now and again you'd have to kiss the actor as a main character. You have to, you know, oh, you're in love at the end, kiss. You know, but those were definitely those, like, little kid kissing their mom on the cheek kind of closed mouth kisses. And these are totally something that should not be overlooked in a sexual situation, because usually they're not the hot and heavy kissing that you do when sex is really imminent, but they warm that body part up, and they're a tease kind of in itself, just like kissing other locations are. So I feel like generally, Jason and I, this is how we start, closed mouth kissing. And oftentimes closed mouth kissing on square on the lips, but also kind of off to the side, on the corners of the lips. Or I often will kiss them on the eyelids, too, and kiss them on the nose and things like that. So that's a great option, kissing that way, and then moving around a little bit and kissing other areas that are near that. And then there's always kissing with tongue, which is makes kissing a little bit more interesting for most people. And there's kissing with tongue, like full-on tongue, like you're climbing down each other's throats, which really should be reserved for the phase where you're both turned on enough to where that isn't sloppy and gross. Because I don't think gooey stuff is sloppy and gross, but that kind of deep throat, intense kissing is not fun, and is sometimes a little bit of a turnoff when it starts to happen at a time that the rest of my body isn't in response to. It's like my lips, my mouth needs to be in sync with my crotch and how my crotch is feeling, or it's just a little bit, you know, it's not right. And they can deviate a little bit from each other, but there should be some sort of connection there. So we talked about the closed mouth kissing and the way open mouth tongue, deep throat kissing. Then there's like all sorts of variations in between, and what you prefer and what your partner does is really just kind of up to you guys, obviously. Or up to you guys. I said that weirdly. But just think about, as you're engaging in that kind of kissing, think about variety, because to me and to most people, the mouth is a really sensitive place and it's a really tantalizing place. But if you overuse it, it becomes less fun. So making sure that there's at least some sort of variety in your kissing, so that all the electrifying nerves that are in that area stay awake and stay electrified. So if you're going to do, you know, deep throat kissing, unless you're like straight up having sex now, it would be really nice to switch and back off and do some very light, barely touching each other with your tongue kind of kissing. Or, you know, pull away in the middle of a kiss, right when the other person's really into it, and pause and look at them and make them wait for it. You know, that kind of thing. You can use kissing as bait. You know, most people do this naturally. This is a natural thing I feel like that people do. But don't forget it when you're in the general rut of, like, the same old kind of kissing and sex, because that can happen. Another thing that some people forget about, too, is dancing. So you're not inclined to get up and start dancing in the middle of, like, a hot and heavy pre-sex moment in bed. But dancing is going to be a really sensual, great way to loosen yourself up. When women are in labor, like about to have a baby, that's one of the things that some midwives and doulas and things will tell the women to do, is they can get up and they can kind of gently move and sway with their partner, which kind of helps with the contractions, helps with the relaxation. But it also, a big part of it is it creates a sensual atmosphere between them and their partner, which is a really good thing for opening up your body, because when you think about it in a sexual way, it opens up your body, the sensuality of being with your partner and physically being with them. So dancing with them is a great way, swaying to the music with them. Some people call sex, you know, in a joking way, the horizontal dance. So if you think about it, there's a lot of similarities between dancing and sex, and there's a lot of types of dance that are highly sexual. And I'm going to do another episode sometime in the future about types of dances that are highly sexual and kind of where they came from and why they are that way. It can be an expression of your sexuality. It can show off your sexual interest, you know, all these things. So don't forget about dancing to warm yourself up, or even to be kind of in a romantic thing. You cut some Frank Sinatra on, or you cut some, you know, I don't know, reggaeton, depending on what you like to listen to. You cut some of that on, turn it on, listen to it, you know, kind of go dance with your partner a little bit. It's going to get the juices flowing. And that's the great thing, too, that I've mentioned in the exercise episode that I did, talking about exercise and health and sexuality. It gets your blood flowing, literally. So that's going to help with blood flowing in all the parts of your body that are going to get you excited about sex. So don't forget about dancing. Even if you're not a dancer, it can be a really fun time to show off your lack thereof, or, you know, your dance skills. Another thing that is a foreplay option is spanking each other. And this is, I feel like, something that certain people are like, oh, I don't want to do that. And certain people are like, oh, yeah, I love that. But here's the thing. You never really know if it would be any fun for you unless you actually try it. Some people just naturally have the urge to spank someone. Jason will do that sometimes to me. I don't know, and I feel like it might be a guy thing, sort of, because none of my women friends have ever told me that they enjoy spanking someone else. Perhaps they do, I just never heard them tell me. But I know that it's a thing that Jason likes. But sometimes he'll just do it when I'm washing dishes, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? I'm busy. Like, that actually straight up hurt. So if you're going to spank someone or be spanked, make sure that you have relayed information about how comfortable you are with pain or how comfortable you are with that concept. Jason doesn't do it when we're, like, you know, naked in bed, which is nice because I think it would turn me off. I think it would, like, be a little bit too shocking. And he has, like, an intuition for that and knows that that wouldn't be the best. But a lot of people enjoy that kind of thing. Some people enjoy, you know, sex toys like handcuffs and, you know, someone dominating one or the other, or, you know, role playing, things like that. And we can talk about that another time. But just on the most basic level, for people that aren't necessarily into that type of sexuality, just try it out and see. Just experiment with it and see if that's something that could be a good shock for your sexual system instead of like a, oh God, ooh, that I didn't like that. Now, obviously, touching the other person's crotch is going to be highly sexual. But we can't overlook that as a part of foreplay, because there's so many different ways in which you can do that. You can do it over the clothes. You can do it just by brushing your hand near their area, which is sometimes in itself enough to, you know, be ready to have sex. It just depends on where you guys are in your moment. And it could also include, you know, straight up giving each other hand jobs. But don't neglect touching each other's genital regions, just because you think there's been enough, you know, other foreplay and things like that. I think the best advice to have for foreplay is to spice it up by mixing up all the different things that you could do, and kind of switching off. So, like I said, no area gets kind of desensitized, or the person who's being touched doesn't start to kind of space out and think, oh, okay, they're still touching that area. I wish they'd move on to something else. Constant movement, constant little mini shocks to other nerves in your body, like, oh, he didn't touch that area yet, how exciting, is a really good thing. I've spent some time in another episode talking about hand jobs, the episode Doing It By Hand Jobs, and how great they are as an option, like in lieu of having intercourse, but also great options, in addition as, you know, a foreplay for intercourse. So you could give each other a hand job so that each of you has an orgasm, or that one of you does, or that neither of you do. And that just depends on what you guys want in the moment. For some men who tend to have orgasms really quickly in the middle of intercourse and they can't kind of hold it, that could be a really good option. They have one orgasm, and then it gives you the chance to have one of your own, depending on what way you have orgasms the best, if you have them the best through oral sex, or him touching you or her touching you, or if you have it best through intercourse. So think about your sexual interest and your pattern to figure out the kind of foreplay that's going to actually raise the peak of your excitement until the right moment, when it's going to be the best culmination of electricity for you to have the orgasm and the sexual experience that you want. So, related to touching the crotch, would be kind of dry sex, which I feel like that's such a weird word, because it's not really sex if it's dry sex, if you're just totally, well, I guess it could be, I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem fun. When you hear the word having dry sex, it seems like it doesn't feel good. But what that really would be a lot of moving up against each other, kind of humping each other, rubbing up against each other, or rubbing each other in different areas underneath clothes. Which, especially if somebody is wearing like a really attractive, like sexy outfit, like, I don't know, maybe you're wearing some sort of lingerie thing, he's wearing some sort of tiny, I don't know, underwear, whatever you guys like. It can be nice to still have the clothes on, or to leave an article of clothing on during sex, which you wouldn't normally do. You know, leave your lingerie on, but pull a boob out. Leave your underwear on, but pull the wiener out. You know, it just depends. And then related to that, too, is the striptease, which I mentioned in, I mentioned as an example in the episode that was more about just the overview of foreplay. There's a lot to be said about the striptease. Probably I'll do another episode on the striptease another time. But the thing about the striptease is it is a tease. I mean, it is that because it's generally done with one person watching the other person, or perhaps you're doing it for each other at the same time. But there probably isn't that much touching going on. It's more of a you see each other, or you're watching each other take off clothes, which is a highly sexual thing, but there is no physical touching. So it's really neat. You know, you have a physical response to something that you're not actually necessarily touching. But this is a really great way to change the game, but omit touching, which in this way, that is what makes it so highly sexual. In the other things I mentioned, the presence of touching is what makes things sexual. But the striptease kind of delves into another aspect of sexuality that's important, is the absence of touching being attractive and being sexy. And then your ability to kind of weave those two together. So presence of touching, absence of touching kind of becomes a teasing situation, but it really raises the level of the sexual tension and interest so that both parties are even more turned on. And this is one thing too that I like, that I think is good about the striptease thing too, is it you think of it, you think it's like, oh, it's for one person kind of, because the person watching is kind of getting the benefit. But I really don't think that. Person watching is getting the benefit, but the person participating is getting the benefit because they are seeing that other person respond to them and be really turned on and think they're really sexy, which is a great feeling to have. It's like immediate feedback, and you can focus more on their feedback that they're giving you, which might be sighing, or, you know, you can tell they're turned on by an erection or whatever, or it might be saying things or them squirming around, but an appreciative thing. So it really kind of reinforces the fact that you're sexy. Whether it's the person doing the striptease as a guy or a girl, it makes you feel nice that they're that interested in just watching you and imagining, oh, I can't wait to have sex with this person because, I'm loving watching them right now. So that's a little bit more information about some different options that are open to you for foreplay, like the physical or related physical, and sexual touching. So, if you're ever stuck, if you're ever in a rut with your sexual foreplay, all those things, make sure you check out this episode again. Remind yourself. And you might be thinking, these things are kind of obvious. Yeah, they are, but how many times do we really forget the obvious? We forget the things that are so simple and so easy to do and so easy to integrate into real life, like hugging someone in a sensual way or getting close to them when they don't expect you to. We forget these things so often, and some of our connection with our partner can flag a little bit. It can kind of, you know, feel disconnected. So it's really nice to rekindle, your physical, emotional connection through these different things that I talked about today. So keep these in mind if you ever feel like you need something else. As always, I love talking with you guys today. I always love talking with you guys. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and please rate the episodes. Give us some stars so that iTunes recognizes it. Also, check out the website, owomanpodcast.com. Check out the episode archives for all other 53 episodes that you might have missed. That page has every single episode, a link to it, so it's really easy for you to check them out there. You can also check that out on iTunes too. And then check out the O Woman Podcast Facebook page, which is just O Woman Podcast. As always, thanks for listening. I'm Emma, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Okay, bye.